This MP3 is titled Persephone Astrologically, and it is intended to build upon the longer chapter on Persephone, Asteroid 399, in my book Living Myth: Exploring Archetypal Journeys. Some of the articles in that book, including the two Persephone articles that became the one chapter, were originally published on a website as a monthly column in 2007 and most of 2008. And since then, the chapter as it stands in Living Myth, I stand by it, and it's the foundation of how I work with Persephone. And yet in the intervening 3-ish years, I've had quite a number of experiences with clients and myself and others who have come into my life, being living Persephone stories, whether as Hades or Persephone, so to speak, on one side of abduction or the other. And so while this asteroid, 399, is not used in astrology much, I find it extremely important to open up to include this in our astrological vocabulary. There isn't a person out there who has not experienced some form of abduction. And let me just say to all you Capricorn Virgo people right off the bat. There is this question of how many bodies should I use? Some people do ask this question, and when they find out that I work with Lucifer and Argensuri and Persephone and Pele and all these others, beyond the four main asteroid goddesses and Chiron, when do we stop? How do we manage our studies and work and interpretations if there are just limitless bodies? And what I want to say is that each of these energies represents a thread in consciousness. And so if you're drawn to work with a particular energy, do it, because it means that your consciousness has opened to including that in your living. And the reason that my astrological vocabulary is as big as it is, and it's not as big as some other people's. I'm not, trying to inspire everyone to use 4,000 asteroids. That's not what I'm trying to do at all. But my astrological vocabulary has gotten bigger because my interest in certain life themes has gotten bigger. Astrology is just a symbolic language of life. If you're drawn to certain archetypes, think about when you're learning about mythology as a kid, you're being exposed to it through media, through school, whatever. If you ever read books on mythology, what figure jumped out at you? What two or three figures really appealed to you? They represent threads in your consciousness. The stories that they lived appealed to you, probably because, when you were a kid, you didn't have that much life experience, but in your psyche, your consciousness has been shaped by your experiences over many, many lives, so you probably have past lives of living that story too. And I'll tell you, it's probably reflected in your birth chart, because the birth chart reflects what is going on in your consciousness. So bringing in Persephone, I see in our world, the world that we have created, such an incredible depth and range and breadth of experience when it comes to this archetype that I couldn't not include it in my charts. So for the last, 4-ish years, I've been including Persephone in all the charts that I analyze. When it speaks to me, I use it, meaning, I don't automatically use it and tell somebody what their experience should be like because they have Persephone in Aquarius in the second house. That's not what it's about. But when these stories come in, when these archetypes answer questions, they really answer questions. And sometimes that's in relation to the nodes and Pluto, because I do focus a lot on the karmic journey, the multi-life soul journey that people travel, which is indicated in part, or between Pluto and the nodes and the South Node ruler. But sometimes it is just a momentary thing. This year, somebody has, for example, yesterday I had a client did a soul return reading for him, and he has in the soul return chart Persephone conjunct his sun. So I started telling him the story, and then he emailed me a couple questions, and I referred him to the Living Myth book. But then I realized, yeah, this is a story that we should tell. So it can also be that it's not a lifelong thing, but we will live a chapter. And a solar return is a great example. A year in the development of our solar selves that would involve Persephone, for example. in that year would focus on it, because the solar return chart is all about the sun. So that we need to learn more about this story is not a feeling that I have. It is an observation of the reality that we are all living this story, and it's time for us to really understand what it really is. As I talk about the myth and the archetype, I'll get into the difference between the story as we've received it and how we actually live it. There is a great difference, and my major intention for doing this teaching for you is to inspire you to see through the myth as we've received it, and the attendant fears that have grown up around the concept of abduction. And I want to inspire you to be willing to be abducted, and to abduct yourselves and to abduct others into greater maturity, into new realities. Like I said, I had this client with the Persephone on his son and the solar return. Yet there have been many, many experiences that have been coming to me over the last few years that have inspired me to tell my version of the Persephone story, even after Living Myth, the book, came out. And people were reading it and commenting on that. All of these personal experiences. And so it just tells me that we're ready to hear this story in a certain way or in a new way. And I've done this with different archetypes. It started with Lilith, the true black moon Lilith, when it comes to astrology, the osculating apogee. And so I did it there. I've done it with Chiron, and then I've done it with the different ones. But Persephone is really the one that's coming forward first as a next thing to investigate. And one of the reasons is that when I tell you the myth and the archetype, this will become much more clear. But one of the reasons that I use Persephone in my chart analysis, and I tell people, in all parts of my life I tell this story, is that when it comes to Persephone, one of the main threads is abduction. And in our culture, we have such a fear of not being safe when it comes to other people. And in the story, she is this, well, she's said to be a young maiden or a virginal maiden or something like this. And we can figure she's pretty young. We could figure she's 8 or 9 or 10. We could figure she's 15. We could figure she's 20, this young maiden. We have this perception of her innocence that is destroyed by her abduction. And what this really comes down to, in where it comes to my motivation, is for us to understand what abduction truly is, why we need it, how we can experience it without being victimized. One of the main reasons to do this for me today is because I'm inspired deeply to help people come out of feeling powerless about their life experiences. Each of us is a powerful divine creator creating his or her own experience. Each of us is a soul creating what we experience in order to learn what it is to be human. And this naturally involves all different kinds of experiences. So what happens is when something, especially when we are young, and something overpowers us, like the Lord of the Underworld abducting us and launching us into maturity in some way that parents always try to protect their kids from as long as possible. When it comes to that, we actually need to be led into new forms of maturity. But as it is, we're worried about maturity. And so we create experiences of abduction that are terrible. I'm sure that you know people who have been abducted in terrible ways into new levels of maturity. And so one of my motivations is to help you see how to choose abduction so that you choose to step into new versions of yourself, new levels of maturity, new realities, so that you can come out of feeling victimized by how life has abducted you. Because when it comes to having this story activated, the thread is in your consciousness. The asteroid is in your chart. And so if you are in any way identifying with Persephone, which many people have, because we're trying to understand this story. We're trying to understand why we would be abducted in terrible ways, trying to understand what it takes to grow up and how we need others to teach us how to step into new realities. But if you identify with this story, it is very likely that you feel victimized by the experiences you have had. And so it is in my heart to give you some perspective on how to change how that works in your psyche. Also to, including to rewrite the history of why things have happened to you, but then also to get you in the position where you are clear about what it is that you need to do to ensure that you are open to being changed by life in significant ways, but you can do it in a way that is not about being a victim. That is my primary motivation here today. It actually underlies everything that I do. So as I tell these stories about these myths, I want people to understand what their opportunity is, what the option is, because the thread of consciousness is active, therefore life experience will come to you about this. And as I've been working with Persephone over the years, I have met many people, including astrologers, who do not use the asteroid, but who have worked with this theme creatively, and who have felt Persephone within them. And So let's just get into the myth as we've received it, and this will kind of all get fleshed out, because if you're drawn to this, you will find yourself in this story too. As I explore in the book Living Myth, what I like to do is tease out the story as we have received it, which I will refer to as myth, from the story as we actually live it, which I will term archetype. What happens is, this is the brief overview. If you want to get into this, get the book, get Living Myth. But the brief overview is that myth is always social instruction. Myth is shaped by the people who are telling the myth, who are telling the story, in order to teach people how to be the right kinds of members of societies or groups or families. And so myth is always about instruction. This is who are you to be. This is who you are to be. This is how you're supposed to make a decision when you're confronted with this dilemma. This is the moral value that you should carry regarding this life issue, this experience, this identity. Well, archetype is how you actually are. When it comes to the Lilith and Chiron work that I've done, it's very obvious. The Persephone, we are ready to see the difference in how we really are versus this myth that we've received. We're ready. We're ready to take the lid off this Persephone dialogue and to come out of victim. We're just ready. I mean, obviously I'm a little jacked up about this. This is a really important story I get all hyped up about. So the story as we have received it is that Persephone is the virginal maiden daughter, the innocent, puerile girl, the daughter of Demeter. And as I talk about it astrologically, I refer to her as Ceres. Demeter is the Greek name, Ceres is the Roman name. But Persephone is the Greek name. So eventually you'll hear me say Persephone and Ceres, and I want you to understand that crosses cultures, but this specifically because of the bodies we work with in the charts. Because there is also a layer of working with Ceres and Persephone together in the chart. These two, the asteroid and the dwarf planet, that is very revealing. So she is the innocent maiden daughter of the harvest goddess, the grain goddess, basically the face of Mother Earth that nurtures and provides food. Her father is Jupiter. Of course, Zeus is her father, but we use Jupiter. And her uncle, Jupiter's brother, is Hades, whom we know as Pluto. So I'm going to insert these names here as well. Persephone is beautiful, she is pure, she is young, she is innocent, right? She is unspoiled by any and all of the possible spoiling things that happen to us in life. She is the model of this puerile innocence. And her uncle Pluto starts to desire her. Essentially, he develops a crush on her, but when Pluto develops a crush, it's pretty serious, as you could imagine. And he's trying to figure out how it could work to get with Persephone. He wants her. We can assume all these lascivious motives, but I think he loves her. I think he really loves her, and he's inspired by the purity of heart that she embodies. I do not think he is actually inspired by her innocence. I think he's inspired by other things about her, though she represents innocence. He goes to his brother, Jupiter, Persephone's father, and he says, basically, I'm thinking about asking Persephone out. Jupiter says, yeah, her mom will never go for that. The mother, the Ceres, the Demeter, the definition, the archetype of overprotective mother. Pluto says, I really want her. I really, really want her. And Jupiter says, well, let me help you out. Let me figure out how to help you out. So Jupiter enlists Gaia, right, the Earth goddess, to create a unique flower, to create out from scratch, from her raw materials, a new flower that Persephone, the young maiden who spends her time enjoying the pure beauty of the natural setting of the forest with her gal pals, but to create a flower that would cause her to linger in a certain spot, because she's never seen this flower before and she will be curious. She knows all of the plants in the forest. She knows all of the flowers, because this is kind of her job as she embodies this maiden, you know, this maiden energy, this virginal purity. It's her job to know about flowers, etc. And at least as far as we get this from the myth, that is the job of a young virginal girl, is to know about young virginal girl things. okay, so this Gaia agrees to create this flower in this particular spot, agreed upon by Jupiter and Pluto. And when she is lingering there, she will be away from her friends, and certainly away from her mother. And Pluto will be able to come and get her, essentially. So as this unfolds on the appointed day, and Persephone is separated from her friends and certainly separated from her mother, mother is nowhere in sight, the friends are off in another part of the forest, she's been drawn to this area, curious about this unique flower that she has never seen. In fact, no one has ever seen, but she does not know this. She does not know that it was designed to capture her attention. And as she lingers with this flower, seeing it, touching it, smelling its uniqueness, this unique odor, there is a crack in the earth that opens up, and Pluto, driving his chariot drawn by black horses, emerges from this crack, snatches her away, and takes her down to his realm, the underworld. It's easy to think of this as hell, but it's not quite right. It's the underworld. It is the world below this world, which we are afraid to look at, so we call it hell. So he snatches her down into the depths, which is his realm. And he abducts her. He steals her from her normal life down into this realm. Continuing with the story as we received it, once she is down there, she is essentially his prisoner, the prisoner of Pluto. And after a while, he contrives to cause her to eat something, which would be a voluntary act of committing to being there. If she takes in what he offers into her body, she will have to stay there, in other words. Now, this is a sort of marriage. If she takes him into her body, what he offers, his energy into her body, then they will be joined. So eventually, and she eats nothing because she knows this. And eventually she eats six, sometimes the number is different, 1, 2, 3, 3, 4. But she eats a half dozen pomegranate seeds, which are inconsequential when we look at them. Six pomegranate seeds. And yet this is enough to accept what he is offering her. And essentially, she thereby marries him and must stay in the underworld. This makes her the queen of the dead. This automatically elevates her to the status of the queen of the underworld. Up above, overprotective mother freaks out. She appeals to the gods and says this injustice cannot be allowed to pass unaddressed. And there is a big summit, which is kind of a very dramatic thing, because she is not willing to give up her daughter. Now, that part of the story is really for about Ceres and Demeter, but I want to include it here briefly, because eventually a decision is made that in order to appease the mother, because Ceres has actually made it cold on the earth so nothing can grow, because in her heart she feels cold because her daughter is gone. She feels emptiness. And this is one of the, you know, myths of generation of winter. Crops do not grow, cannot grow. And so because the Earth Mother's heart is empty because her daughter has been abducted. And so in order to have her allow things to grow again, the decision is made that Persephone will spend part of the year with her husband and part of the year with her mother. And this will ensure that the crops can grow and that humanity can survive, etc. And so Ceres is somewhat satisfied. We never hear about this from Persephone's perspective, which I will bring in here soon. And so she spends part of the year up top with her mother, and this is when things can grow, because the mother has joy in her heart and is feeling flowing with the energy of new life and creation, and things can grow. And she is able to express her nurturing, and so therefore we have crops, etc. And then the other part of the year, Persephone spends down below with her husband being the queen of the dead. One of the things that this story has been shaped into teaching us is about the dangers of adult reality. The dangers of cavorting with adult men. The dangers of being snatched out of virginal purity and puerile innocence by lascivious, lustful men with no good in their hearts, with the being up to no good in their hearts. And so, you know, we fear the loss of innocence. We fear for what happens to a woman, well, to a maiden who is not yet owned by a man. We fear for our daughters what will happen when she is gone through the process, that then she is therefore available to be owned by a man, and she is owned. So this is kind of what this story is about. I mean, there are different threads here when we get into the archetype, but this myth as we've received it is to tell us that, to teach us that our innocence is precious. But it is supposed to teach us that innocence, which is ignorance, is bliss. And there is no human that can truly escape abduction into maturity. And yet this cultural teaching is, I believe, geared specifically towards making young women afraid to have sex until they are in the right context with the man who owns them. Now, this story is thousands of years old. And so as I say this, you're saying, well, actually, we are very sophisticated 2011 type people, and etc. And that's fine. But we have been shaped over time by this cultural teaching that innocence is bliss, that ignorance is bliss, that a woman should not know her body and should not know how her body responds to a man until a man has snatched her out of her virginal, maiden, innocent, puerile, ignorant context of being a girl. This story paints the picture of the inevitability of a man snatching a girl into adulthood. So it is actually an attempt to disempower women from maturing in the ways that they feel inspired to mature on their own. Our fears about abduction for our children, our fears about the harsh, cruel realities coming to our children and changing them, robbing them of their innocence, which is to say, the possibility to inhabit bliss. These fears are all about that we have created a cruel world to abduct us into violent forms of, abduct us violently into maturity. So again, one of my intentions here is to inspire you to rewrite your history of why you have been abducted, why things have happened to you seemingly against your will, but have ushered you into new forms of maturity, new realms, new versions of yourself, so that you can stop being powerless, so that you can see how this journey is created in order that you mature, and it is a soul-directed journey. Because we are living in a culture that fears reality and has made a monster of adult male sexuality. The Pluto in the story, the Hades in the story, is pretty much self-interested, right? And that is because we have invested this image of men carrying dark sexuality. Well, we have invested this image because we have feared that that is what we were doing. We fear it because we have stopped having a relationship with light-filled sexuality. So Hades here becomes a monster who abducts and rapes the virginal maiden who was minding her own business, admiring a pretty flower. This myth, as we've received it, is also intended to teach us, or it serves to teach us, that whatever the state of innocence, whatever this girl is up to, she is not ready to grow up. And this has much to do with our collective issues about the cruel realities of adult living. We all feel that the earth, that life, that God, Goddess, Source, Universe has acted upon us and thrust us into difficult realities, difficult situations that we are not ready for. And so this cultural teaching about puerile innocence and virginal maidenhood, whether you're a man or a woman, but this purity of youth, the cultural teaching here is having much to do with our regret for not having been able to protect ourselves from the harsh realities of the world. All of the channeling that I've been doing the last few years, I channel the Ascended Master Jehudi, who is also known as Thoth or Toth or Toth or Thoth, and also Saint Germain and Merlin. And this perspective has deeply impacted everything that I do because I have had my consciousness altered by spending a great deal of time channeling this being. Basically, allowing this being to speak through me so that other people can adjust their consciousness too. And one of the teachings that this being offers, that I have been bandying about left and right, is that we are all creating our reality and that we are coming out of what is termed a spiritual adolescence on Earth. Or as long as there have been humans, we have perceived things are happening to us. We perceive that we are not in charge of things, and this perspective from this being is that we are each actually portions of all that is, or God or Goddess, or the divine intelligence. And our souls are learning about how to live through these human lives by living them. And so there is this issue of responsibility that comes in. You, as God, as Goddess, are creating your reality. Even the difficult parts, even when it is very difficult. This story, this Persephone story, is a piece of evidence to me, to my eyes, that we have been terrified at the prospect of taking responsibility for our life experiences that have hurt us. So I'm going to invite you now to just do it, to just accept responsibility for all that has happened to you. As we explore this archetype a little further, and then I'll get into my views on the nature of abduction, what it really is, why we fear it, but why we need it. You know, this will become more clear to you. This whole story will continue to unfold. But I want you to understand that you have created everything that's happened to you in your life, and that all humans have, and that we as a species, and that we as individual countries and cultures and ethnic groups, we have all created what has happened to us. So as I tell you this Persephone story, I'm inviting you to allow that you have needed to grow up, that you have needed new realities. Because this myth, as we've received it, paints the virginal maiden as a victim. And it is easy for each of us, it doesn't matter man or woman, it is easy for each of us to think about what was going on in our lives before we knew what life was really like. You know, to imagine the good old days, so to speak, before we knew about this difficulty, before we had these intense relationships, before we left home. It's part of the Persephone thing. Let's get into the archetype as we live it. I want to explore certain threads. I've kind of been easing into it as we've been exploring this part of the myth and my commentary on it. One of the threads that comes with this story, let me just say this, not everybody will live all the threads, but each of these threads is a Persephone thread. And so you might identify with one, you might identify with all of them. But as you look at yourself and you look at others, and if you're an astrologer and you're plugging this into charts, be open to finding out what threads are relevant for people that you're working with. And as I explain these, what you'll do, you know, what you'll probably do, because this is what we do, is that we go to the charts of people we know very well and ourselves, and we plug this asteroid in. We type in 399 and we find out where it is in people's charts, and we make sense of what we're learning and what we're thinking about in terms of the life stories. And so, you know, you'll find different avenues that people have lived this story as you explore charts. The first one I want to talk about is the betrayal by the father. Jupiter in this story set Persephone up to get abducted, essentially to get raped, is the way the story goes, to get snatched away, made a woman trapped into becoming a sexually mature person, or trapped into at least having sex, that kind of thing, by marrying this god. So there is a setup by the father. The uncle goes to the father and says, "Your daughter's hot, I have a crush on her, I want to get with her, maybe even marry her." And the father says, "Yeah, let me help you figure out how to trick her so that the mom doesn't find out and the mom can't stop you." So in this story, betrayal by the father is a thread that we live. What has actually happened, I'm saying something about the archetype, is that she is abducted into adulthood. She is transformed into an adult through this experience. So what the father has actually done is what he probably feels is in her best interest, but it is a trick. And he probably says, you know, imagining what Jupiter says in this scenario, her mom is so overprotective, she will never let this girl grow up. So here's my brother coming to me and saying, "Yeah, your daughter's beautiful. Your daughter is a wonderful person, and I love her." And the father says, "Her mom will never let her grow up. Let me help you out." So in living this thread of betrayal by the father, we can feel tricked, and we can feel betrayed. And it hurts deeply to find out that our fathers or a father figure has facilitated a difficult experience for us. So that's one thread, betrayal by the father, that we live this story. Another thread is smothering by the mother. Ceres is the definition, the very archetype, the source of overprotective mother. She values her daughter's innocence above all else. It is inspired by protection, which is inspired by love. It is not about keeping her from steering the ship of her life. It is not about preventing Persephone from being her own person. That is simply the result of the smothering. We all know parents who manage every aspect of their children's lives. Manage every single aspect. We all know them. We also know parents who manage none of the aspects of their children's lives. And we see these extremes play out. But when it comes to this smothering, the parent has the best interests of the child at heart, but they're all framed in terms of fear of what the child will experience if the mother is not protecting the child. So this is another major, major thread. From then coming back to Persephone's story, the Persephone's that perspective, relinquishing self-definition to others. As she lives in her mother's shadow, that's what we're really talking about, this smothering. As she lives in her mother's shadow, she is willing to be defined by her mother. It's easy when we feel safe. And we all at times have kept our mouths shut about who we really are in order to maintain a sense of being protected by somebody who really does look out for us, somebody who does love us and want the best for us. So that's another thread here. Another thread is afraid, being afraid to grow and mature, being afraid of the future, being afraid of adult reality. We have not experienced it yet when we are Persephone, pre-abduction. And so what we fear is having the experiences that others have. We fear being what other people have become. So we have people in our lives who despise that they have to grow up, or that they had to grow up. And this can be in the form of a parent who longs for the days, for example, before a child was born, or who longs for the dream of what he or she would do in the world if she didn't have this family or didn't have these responsibilities. And so there's this whole thing about adult reality, when we choose to take a responsibility for other people, and we have jobs, we have bills, we have mortgages, you know, we pay taxes, we have commitments to get them to rehearsals and medical appointments on time, all these things, and we can observe others not digging those responsibilities or feeling that their own innocence was lost too early, and that we can say we would rather remain innocent, we would rather remain in this cocoon of the overprotection, even if we can barely breathe from the smothering. This is another thread. And the last thread to mention here is abduction. Literal abduction, where we are snatched from one reality into another, and it changes us forever. Many people experience this in many different ways. It is not always a literal, a van pulls up on the side of the road, the door opens, and a little kid is snatched inside and abducted. It's not always a predatorial, criminal, violent abduction, but it is being snatched into some new reality by some Plutonian figure. It doesn't have to be not loving, but because of our fears about our innocence, many of us do experience violent abductions in one way or another, sometimes that do usher us into the world of sexual knowledge way before we're ready. These Persephone stories are often, when it comes to kids, can be extremely difficult for us to deal with. Yet you're, you know, here you are listening to an extremely Plutonian astrologer who, you know, I'm a Scorpio sun, but my Venus is with Pluto in the 12th. And so when I work with people, when I Venus, I abduct them into the 12th house. So here we are looking at the truth of why these things happen, looking at the higher perspective and trying to discern the divine intent behind these experiences. So it is not always terrible, and yet it certainly has been for many people. It certainly has been. So this abduction. And I want to transition into this next part of the teaching here. It's titled The Nature of Abduction. And the truth is that each one of us, no matter where we are, no matter what's going on, we need teachers to help us evolve. The truth is that each of us needs to be shown a new version of reality at certain points. Some of us live Persephone stories our entire lives, and some of us, as I mentioned earlier with my client with the solar return, a sun conjunct Persephone, some of us will have specific chapters of life. And transits and progressions to Persephone will matter, and transits of Persephone will matter as well. But we either live a life of Persephone, or we have certain chapters in our lives that are emphasized with a Persephone story. But each of us encounters the need, we carry a need to encounter others who teach us about something new, who expand our world, who expand our vocabulary in meaningful ways. And each of these experiences creates a reality that we can never step back from. This is the nature of this abduction when it comes to Persephone. There is a state we are in which offers some protection, relatively speaking. And then somebody comes along, or some scenario unfolds. Could be a Plutonian group, could be a Plutonian idea that snatches us into a new reality. But it forces us to evolve. It catches us off guard and swoops us away into some future we had never imagined or we had feared. You know, one that we had thought of, but one that we feared being a part of. With this abduction, with every single one, you cannot undo it. You can never go home again, is how we talk about it. You know, this cultural teaching. You can never go home again. This is a Persephone thread. It cannot be undone. We are changed forever, and it can never be undone. And so as we approach abduction with our fears about what might happen to us, what it is that really happens is we grow up. That's it. We grow up. In the Persephone myth, we look at her being this young girl, probably a teenager. I mean, you know, considered a young woman, though we have this definition of teenager that is intended to buffer our children from growing up, to, you know, to extend as long as possible potential states of innocence. She is initiated into being a woman. In the story, she's made his queen, and so that is about marriage and the advent, you know, the emergence of her sexual self in one way or another. But it is not always about sex. It is not always about adult physical relationships, though it certainly can be. But what it is about is somebody ushering us into a new conception of self that we had either not imagined or we had imagined and feared. So I've talked about why we fear it, but I want to talk now about why we need this. Not that we need abuse, not that we need violence and criminal activity towards us, but we need teachers to blow our minds. We need others to come forward as karma mate teachers. Some people would call this soulmates, but I call it karma mates because we have many, many of them. Soulmate can seem to imply that there's one person waiting out there for us, and that is nonsense. It is baloney. But we need other people who are manifested souls that love us enough to help us learn difficult lessons. We need these people to blow our minds. We need these people to explode our present contexts when those things get stale. We need them to blow up. I have this image of somebody standing off to the side with one of those little boxes like in the cartoons or in the westerns, and it you plunge the thing into the box and the fuse gets whatever and the charge, and then the dynamite 100 feet away blows up. And we need people to do this, to wire us up with dynamite. We cannot evolve without teachers, without other people who function as teachers. We simply cannot grow and evolve because our conceptions of self need to be altered by other people. And that's just the nature of the human game. That's just the basic reality. all of the investment that this myth reflects in innocence and virginal purity and puerile youth, innocence, unknowing youth, all of that investment is no longer serving us. So I want you to accept right now that you need people to explode your context and usher you into new versions of reality. And when you accept that fact, you can then approach people who come in and want to explode your reality in a more conscious way. One of the reasons that we live this story in such difficult ways is because we are unconscious of this part of ourselves. We identify with the innocence, we identify with the stability, with the perhaps being overshadowed by somebody else's energy or self or heart or mind or control. And we identify with that part of us. Well, each one of us is such a complex, multidimensional being. Each one of us is God, is goddess. And each one of us has so many more facets to ourselves than we identify with at any given time, unless we allow ourselves to have our contexts and ideas of self exploded by these people with the whole dynamite dealio, the like fuse and the plunger box, unless we allow that. So, one of my motivations here restated is that you can approach this more consciously. People come into your life who treat you like Persephone. I don't care if you're a 70-year-old man, if you're a 10-year-old girl, if you're a 25-year-old young man, if you're a 30-year-old woman, you're a 50-year-old woman, people exist in your life to snatch you away from your present context into some new reality. One of the major things to talk about with this is our relationship with suffering and pain. Probably not what you expected from an MP3 on Persephone, but this is part of the story. Because as we have felt victimized by what has happened to us, we have not been able to take responsibility for our situations, for our lives. In order to rewrite the history of why these things happen to us, why these people as teachers for us have really had quite this major impact that is actually important, in order for us to rewrite the story of why we were abducted and what happened, we have to take responsibility for it. And that means altering our conception of why we suffer. Because in the Persephone situations where we left home and our relationships with our parents changed forever, and we in some way or other lost our virginity, right? Initiated into sexual maturity in one way or another, in all the ways that we were going about our business just smelling a pretty flower, and then a crack in the earth opened up and somebody very consequential, significant, and intense snatched us into something new. In all those ways, we have perceived that it has happened to us because the pain that it brought us, we cannot understand why we would create for ourselves. So I want you to understand this as a fact, even if you are not in your process quite ready to take it in emotionally or to inhabit this this truth through your heart. But the fact is that the person that you were, the person that you became after the abduction, after the initiation into maturity in whatever way, is much richer and more relevant and bigger and deeper and wider and more open and more conscious of what life is about, more aware of who you really are than this pre-abduction version of you could ever be. One of the things that we have to do is to accept our experiences as teaching experiences and be grateful for how they have changed us. And we all have had the experience, and we all know others who have said things like, oh yeah, that thing that happened 10 years ago in that relationship was really difficult, and yet now I can really see the point, and I can really see how I'm better off for it. Well, that's a normal kind of adult, mature Persephone, kind of the evolution of this thinking and this experience. And yet there are all of us have things in our lives for which we cannot take responsibility because of the level of suffering that we experienced, the level of pain that we, in fact, probably still carry. So please disavow yourself of the notion that life is supposed to be happy, effortless, easy, safe, and pain-free. You have been taught that as a member of Earth culture because, for many reasons, actually. One of them is that humanity has, and this is not the place to get into it, but this is actually in the book that I just released called Goddess, Past, Present, and Future, a channeled volume from this ascended master I mentioned earlier, Jehudi Thoth St. Germain Merlin, talking about the separation that we as a collective, as a species, experienced from our mother, the goddess, the earth, and how we created religions then with kind of male-oriented gods who punished us in the same ways that we punish ourselves and each other. And so, but this separation has led to a victimization. Separation from the processes of nature has led to a sense of victimization. The world is acting upon us, nature, all these germs are out to get us, our bodies are constantly breaking down, so there are enemies, all this stuff. So you can check out that volume, Goddess Past, Present, and Future, if you're interested. That's available through my site, through Amazon, that kind of thing. Oh, and also Kindle. But in order to evolve now, we have to accept responsibility for what has happened to us. And these Persephone stories in our lives, this being snatched away into a new reality, have much to do with this. Or they are, let's say, it's a prime vehicle for us to really tap into this truth and really see what's really happening. And so to recap, we fear abduction because of what might happen to us. Because we fear being changed. We fear living in new realities. And why we need it is because we need to live in new realities. We need to grow. We need to evolve and leave behind conceptions of self that get stale. And we need others to reflect that to us when it's true.